Chaitanya Bhagavat. This is Anti Leela, chapter 6 of Chaitanya Bhagavat. And it's a new chapter. And we've been hearing about this Brahmin that had doubts about the identity of Lord Nityananda. And he had met the same Brahmin. He was a Navadvip Brahmin. He met Lord Gauranga. I don't know where, assuming he met him in Puri, but anyway, he met him and he revealed his mind. He said, I don't understand anything about Nityananda Avadhut, what he's doing in Navadvip. And then he explained what he saw. Sanyasa ashram tana bali sarvajan karpura tambula se bhojana sarvakshan. Gauranga, everyone says that Nittai is a sannyasi. He's in sannyasa ashram. But yet, he's always chewing betel nuts mixed with camphor. And of course, tambul and pan are not permitted for sannyasis or Vaishnavas to take because they are mildly intoxicating. So this is a report. He's saying, I don't understand. The previous verse he said, I don't understand. Kichuna bujon. I don't understand this avadut, this Nityananda avadut. This is what I see. In other words, it's like what we say, you can't judge a book by its cover. So oftentimes and even we're warned that in the Vaishnav Samaj, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra, that it's very difficult to understand the movements and postures and activities externally of the Vaishnavas. Most Vaishnavas behave in a rather simple and transparent and straightforward way, which is not difficult for anyone to figure out. But some devotees, due to their own eccentric nature, or their avadhut characteristics, or their niskinshan identity, or their otherworldliness, appear externally to behave somewhat questionably or somewhat differently than the ordinary rank-and-file Vaishnava. So they create some consternation in the minds of the onlooker, who may be well-meaning Vaishnavas, or devotees who become confused. So this Navadvip Brahman was obviously a pious, good person. It's not said that he's envious, it's just said he doesn't understand Nityananda Avadhut. So if misapprehension can be there, and misunderstanding can be there for God, what to speak about a misapprehension and misunderstanding of Vaishnavas present before our eyeballs? He was a Brahmin. Brahmins are known for their vivek, their powers of discrimination and intellectual acumen. But he was not able to perceive the subtleties and the true, transparent, and transcendental identity of God himself, although he was seeing him before him. Certainly there is no rules or regulations for Balaram for drinking Varuni beverage. He can't be arrested for drunken driving. If he drinks too much Varuni and walks down the forest path, I don't think Madamangala will pull him over and give him a ticket and lock him up in a kunja, lock him up in a cave in Govardhan for drunken walking. Because drunks, even if they walk down the street drunk, you can also get arrested. Just walking like a drunk, and they test your breath and you're drunk, then you get arrested. You're drunk and you're in public. Just as you drive your car, if you drive your car crazy on the road and they pull you over and do a breath analyzer and see you're drunk, you're arrested. So Balaram was walking drunk on Varuni beverage, but he never got arrested. We don't read any accounts. So the Lord, and of course, the king is above the law, what to speak of the king of kings. Nityananda, he can chew betel nuts, he can do whatever he wants. But if you're posing as a sannyas ashram, then you shouldn't chew betel nuts. So there's ashram dharma and other types of dharma. Datu dravya parashite nahi sannyas shire. Sona rupa mukta sa tanhara kalevare. Listen, Gauranga, I want to say something else about this avadhut you call Nittai. As you know, anyone who's in the sannyasa ashram, he's prohibited from wearing touching and wearing metal objects. But his body, this Avadhuta Sannyasi's body, is decorated with gold, silver, and pearls. So generally, it's not so much seen that sannyasis wear lots of jewelry or any jewelry. They may wear an occasional ring, but that's generally at some later age when they think it may be good for their health. It's recommended or offered to them by a well-meaning disciple or well-wisher to reciprocate with that loving consideration. Then the sannyasi guru may accept that ring and wear it. Prabhupada, as a sannyasi from 1959, he took sannyas until 1959, until 1975, I suppose. He never had any rings. He never wore any rings or any jewelry as a sannyasi. 59 to 60 to 70, that's 15, 16, 18 years. But then his disciples, they offered him occasionally a ring or two as their love offering, and it was suggested that it would be good for his health also. In the very end of his life, 1977 or so, he was presented a blue sapphire ring to wear on his Saturn finger, I think is blue sapphire, because it was some difficult time of Jyotishi for Prabhupada's life. So it was recommended, so Prabhupada said, all right, whatever, if it makes you feel good. So he wore a rather costly ring that afterwards, I think, was returned to the giver of the ring. I'm not sure. Other than that, we don't really see a sannyasi's Gaudiya mission wearing too many. At most, they may wear a ring or something. But that's rarely seen, even that. But Nityananda sannyas, Avadhuta sannyas ashram, and he had long pearl necklaces and ruby necklaces and the Navaratna on his arm and gold bracelets and was lavishly decked out more than a king or a queen. And he was parading down the street chanting Nam Sankirtan with turban and jewelry and the finest diamond-studded earring. And so he was amazed. And he says, Kashaya Kopin Chari Divya Patavas Darina Chandana Mala Sadai Vilas. And also, Gauranga, what kind of sannyasi is this Nittai Avadhut? He doesn't even wear saffron cloth. He's supposed to wear Kashaya Kopin Chari and Divya Patavas. He's supposed to wear this red Kashaya Kopin, means the red Kopin. He's given up the red Kopin of a sannyasi. And what's he wearing? He's wearing Divya Patavas. Divya Pata means very costly, of course. Divya also means transcendental, but costly clothing of silk, the finest, thinnest, costliest silk garments, flowing blue silk garments, the color of Krishna, and he's decorated with all sandalwood paste and flower garlands and beautiful sweet smelling scents anointing his body. This is the standard fare, and occasionally a sannyasi may have some sandalwood chandan on his forehead in the hot season of May, or as an honorary worship from his disciple, Guru Puja, or greeting him in the morning. But to have sandalwood daubed on your chest and your arms and your face and every day lavishly, it's not exactly the sannyas standard. And not only that, Danda chari loha danda darena vakene shudra ashrame se takena sarvakshane. Why did he give up the sannyas danda? The danda of the sannyasi is bants. It's made of bants. Whether it's ek danda of the Mayavadi, it's made of bants, which means bamboo. Or whether it's a tridandi of the Vaishnava, it is bamboo. Whether it's some people cover it, some don't. Cloth. But underneath that cloth covering of the sannyas danda, you'll find bamboo, which is lightweight and But he doesn't carry a sannyas danda, which is he doesn't dress like a sannyasi. He doesn't wear the kopens. He says kopen chari. When one takes sannyas ashram, there's a diksha, sannyas diksha. And he receives kopen patavas, bahirvas, kopen and bahirvas. He receives the kopin and the outer cloth, the lungi or the outer cloth. And the kopin, the actual symbol of the sannyas ashram is to receive kopin. It's called kopin dharana. And the kopins are installed, and there's a Vedic ritual to install Laja Devi, Prithvi Devi, the goddess of shyness and the goddess of earth in the kopin, the door and kopin. Prithvi, the goddess of earth, the peace and tranquility and compassion of the earth, Prithvi Devi, and along with Laja Devi, shyness. So that's, and it's a whole, it's a ritual. They're installed, there's mantras, there's kopin puja, and this is even done in ISKCON when you take sannyas in Mayapur. Other sannyasis will worship the sacred cloth, and there's a yajna, and then you're given that sacred cloth. So it says it kopin chari. So this is the primary, it's called kopan. Becoming sannyas means receive kopan. The grihastas and brahmacharis, they wear langoti, or they wear other, some langoti is like one, the traditional Indian underwear, like you see, it looks like Hanuman underwear or something, whatever they call it. It's one piece of cloth that covers the whole backside, and it comes around and tucks in the front. It's one piece of cloth, it's one continuous thing. You see it, it covers the back, like a triangle, covers the backside, then comes through the middle, then tucks under like that, and they tie it around the waist. So that's worn by, not by sannyasis. The sannyasi is two pieces, door and kopin. There's one separate piece that goes around the waist called door, or the belt, then the kopin goes around the private parts. So it's something special, it's in the Puranas, and it's part of the sanskara, sannyas sanskara. So no one is allowed to receive the lal kopin until they're sannyas. When Prabhupada started ISKCON in America, he was considering his brahmacharis like sannyasis, so he gave them kopins. Then the grihasas, they saw that, and they said, we want to wear, because they were wearing whatever, boxer shorts or whatever, I don't know whatever they wear. Grihasas were asking, well, can we wear kopins also? And Prabhupada said, okay, you're also brahmacharis. Because they were following, like sannyasis, following the four regulative principles, so he allowed them to wear the kopin. But it's actually a symbol of an ashram. Grihasthas traditionally and Vedically don't wear kopin. It's not allowed. It's a specific yogi. It's the sannyas kopin. In fact, there's stories in Puranas about Shiva giving an old pair of his kopins to someone. Whoever would get the kopins, whoever receives the kopins from a Siddha Mahatma or a Siddha saint, and if he wears them or keeps them on his head and worships them when he chants Gayatri or whatever, he'll get some kind of perfection or siddhi. Danda chari loha danda darina vakina. We think, okay, what's the big thing? But sannyas means kopin, danda, and kamandalu. And although kamandalu is not necessary, it's an accessory, but not necessary. But kopin and danda are absolutely necessary. They're inseparable part of the sannyas. And generally it's told in Prabhupada's books also that after a sannyasi, there are four ashrams in sannyas, four divisions of the sannyas ashram. The Kutichak, Bahudak, and then Paribrajak and Paramahamsa. So after one has taken sannyas and carried a danda for 10 years, he may, Prabhupada even mentions in one place, he may leave it aside and wander as a Paribrajak without his danda, as Prabhupada did. Prabhupada left his danda in Radhadamodar when he left in 1965 he left. So after carrying for 6 years, he left in the, of course, Prabhupada was always a Paramahamsa, but he left it there, and then he went to America with an umbrella. I couldn't find the reference, but it's often told in the Gaudiya that if a sannyasi doesn't have is not carrying a danda, then he should carry an umbrella or a cane, walk with a cane, a walking stick, a cane, or an umbrella. A cane, which means walking stick, umbrella, or his danda. So knowing that, and that being the traditional, I'm not sure where it's written or if it is written, or if Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that, I can't say. But the devotees had traveled, the sannyasis had left India in the 1930s on the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Ban Maharaj and Bhakti Saranga Goswami and others. They carried umbrellas. Of course, they're going to England, where it always rains. Raincoats and umbrellas are standard fare in England. But Prabhupada followed suit and carried an umbrella. You see that famous diorama in Krishna Balaram Temple. There's a diorama there in the museum side of the samadhi where Prabhupada's walking up the gangplank of the Jaladuta. There's a rendition of the Jaladuta there, and he has his umbrella under his arm. And determined look. So this, he's saying he came up, he doesn't have kopan, and he doesn't have his danda. And he's chewing pan and decorated with garland, long garlands and chandan and all kinds of gold and diamond necklaces. What kind of sannyasi is this? Why does he have an iron staff? He had a loha danda. This is, we saw yesterday in the picture on the altar we were worshipping, Nityananda in the back of Chaitanya Mangal, he's carrying, holding his loha danda. Loha danda, because this is loha. Loha means iron age, iron, loha. Loha basma, it's an Ayurvedic medicine. Why does he always lit? And then, okay, he's given up the signs of a sannyasi, the danda and kopian, and he's adopted habits which are not sannyas, like a kshatriya or a sait or a wealthy man. He's wearing costly necklaces and garlands and chandan and flower garlands, dressing like a deva or demigod or like Lord Indra. And then he's dressing like, he gave up the symbols, he's dressing like a wealthy materialist, a king, and he's adopted the habits of chewing pan. And what about his association? It's all right, he's an avadut. He's doing that, but he's traveling with five or six sannyasis, and he's always living in sannyas ashramas and performing austerities on the banks of the Ganga. So no, what is this? Sudra ashram, takena sarvakshan. He's not in a sannyasa ashram. He's not in a grihastha ashram. He's not in a vanaprastha ashram, which he may frequent as a sannyasi avadut. He may travel and visit the grihasthas to preach to them. Parakara upakara, work. Or you may visit the vanaprastha ashram to preach to the retired and to the widows, or let's say retired people. Or you may visit the brahmacharya ashram and inspire the brahmacharis. Or the... But to go, he's in the Shudra ashram, as if there is such a thing. Of course there is, it's one of the orders of society. To be sheltered in the rules and regulations of a Shudra, and that's a type of ashram. So why is he always with Shudras? You're judged by your association. Shudras are prone to intoxication, prone to chewing pan and betel nut, like he's doing. And it's very questionable. Shastra mata munitana na dekonachar. Eteki moharachite sandehe apara. Goranga, your nitai, I don't find his behavior is shastrically correct. So my mind has become full of doubts. My chitta is mohara. Moha chitta. My consciousness is totally bewildered. Moha means more than shamshaya. Shamshaya means doubt. The word shamshaya. It's throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna inquires from Arjuna, shamshaya, are your doubts now removed? I've given you the knowledge of karma and jnana and bhakti and sankhya. So you understand reality. Do you understand your ashram and your dharma? Do you understand your identity? You understand who your relatives are? Are all your doubts cleared and removed? Yes, all my doubts are removed, my Lord. And now I'm ready to fight, stand and fight. Armed with yoga, stand and fight. I'm picking up my Gandiva and twanging it. Dong! What's that? That sounds like Gandivadara. I heard he dropped his bow. He's lamenting on the chariot, refusing to fight, but doesn't sound like that now. Because when you twang your bow, that means you've strung your bow, because a bow is not always strung. Anyone who knows hunting, a bow is unstrung, then you string it. And the first thing you do after you string it is you twang it. That's a kshatriya. It's like someone has a revolver, when they get the revolvers and they take it like this, and then they spin the cartridge, you know, the Wild West, they go, these, you know, and then they pull the cock back. And then they just hold the trigger and then hold the thing and drop it down, put it back. You know. So when you have bow and arrow, then that's the whole thing, you string the bow. Show your manhood. And then they go dong. So that there's a distinctive sound of the Gandiva. Everyone knows. Everyone plays the flute. There's so many flutists, but if someone hears a flute, if he's a trained musician, that's Hari Prasad Chaurasia. I can tell. That sound. He has that sound. Or someone else is playing. This is the expertise of the ear of the musician. The same way the Kshatriyas, their ear is trained for the great Maharatis and Atiratis. How does their bow sound? Dong! Ocha! It's like all the cowboys are playing flute. The gopis don't drop all their clothes and run out in the middle of the night. Some cowboy may be walking along the roof of his palace in the moonlight, because they play the flute also. And if you're a musician, it's fun to walk in the palace in the moonlight and play the flute or walk along the beach. So they're boys, so the boys get restless after dinner. So they go to the palace rooftop, or they go along the roof of their houses in Nandagram. And Krishna, of course, is sleeping or whatever he's doing in Nandagram. And they walk along and play the flute. So they're playing the flute at night, the full moon's rising, Sharad season, but the gopis aren't running and beating down their doors. But when Krishna plays the flute, and everything's different. Because his flute has a special sound. Vamshidhari, Murlidhara. So he gave up his doubts. So his mind is Mohachitta, Moharachitte. Shastra Mata Muni, Na Dekhon Achar. Na Dekhon Achar. I don't see anything. I don't see Achar. I don't see any Vaishnava Achar, Sadachar. I don't see any good behavior. I don't see anything good about this Avadut, who you honor so much and consider to be your Barobai. Barobai Nitai Ki Jai. Barobai. Who is it? What is it? I don't find this behavior in accordance with the scriptures. Dekanachara. I don't see any, based on the shastras, what is this? So I'm doubtful. Can you remove my doubt? And then he's going on to air his, what is this called? This is called love. This is Sadguna Pritilakshana. These are the six symptoms. This is love in action. This is nectar instruction in action. You heard that verse, Tadati Pratigrinati? What is it in English? Guyam Akyati. What does Guyam mean? To reveal your mind in confidence. To whom? Psychiatrist? To whom? To Vaishnavas. An advanced, well-wishing, compassionate, trusted, non-gossiping, spiritual personality who can give you some guidance or relieve you of your anxiety or remove your doubts. They must be confidential personalities, otherwise the breach of trust will break one's heart. So it's a difficult position to be a leader and guide of humanity, because you have to keep so many secrets in your treasure box because the souls are in your treasure box, so you have to be careful. So he's continuing to air his doubts. He's speaking privately and confidentially to Lord Chaitanya about, he has a big doubt about a devotee. I have a doubt about this devotee. Yes, Garanga says, who is he? Is Lord Nityananda. Oh, that devotee, Nityananda Avadhut. Acha, you have doubts? You have doubts? Why is that? Who has doubts? Bharaloka bhari tanre bali sarvajane tatapi ashrama charana karena kene goranga. Everyone says Nityananda is a great personality. Paralok, sarvajan, bali sarvajan, sarvajan. Everyone's speaking. Everyone's talking that he's Bharaloka. He's a great personality. But then why doesn't he behave according to his ashram dharma, the duties and rules and regulations and niyamas of his sannyas ashram? Can you explain that to me? Jada more brityahena jnana takke mane ki marma ihara prabhu kaha shivarane. O Prabhu, if you so desire, if you consider me to be your britya, ekale ishvara britya arasab, ekale ishvara krishna arasabhya britya, if you consider me Krishna to be Krishna britya, Gauranga das, Chaitanya das, your servant, then I ask you confidentially, will you please explain this marma? Ki marma ihara, Prabhu? What is this mystery? Speak with your Sri Bharane, your beautiful lotus mouth. I am all ears awaiting your reply. Vrindavan Das Thakur intervenes. Sukriti brahmana prashna kaila shubakshane amayaya prabhu tatva kahilena thane. That pious brahmana from Navadvip made this inquiry at a proper time, so the Lord explained the truth without reservation. Interesting side points here. Of course, the Adi Bhotik Vichar, the elemental consideration of the story. Bhotik means the elements and the flow and the systematic flow of the story is that there's Lord and Sannyasi. But then there's the Adhyamatmik Vichar. What is the consideration or understanding of what are the points of philosophy or relevant beneficial teachings being presented here in the context of the flow of the Leela with its various elements falling into place, scenes and settings and dialogues and places and feelings and rasas. And of course, the Adidaivik Vichara is just the inter-exchange between the members of the Leela, between the Lord and his Brahman devotee, because he says, I'm your devotee. I'm a Gauranga Bhakta. I'm your Das. And I'm your servant, like the servant of the Guru. He says, I'm your servant and I'm bewildered. I have some doubts. So then he seeks the clarification and removal of those doubts. So, but the point here, Adhyatmik, for our individual personal consideration or benefit, we see something interesting here. That he was Sukriti, pious. He's making prashna. Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevya upadekshanti te gyanam ganinas tapadarshana. This is the guru-shishya relationship. It's based on seva and prashna and humility. But the point that we find here is interesting is that the Lord, what is being presented here is Mahaprabhu replied to him because of he had a question, he had an inquiry, a prashna. But for the proper reply of a prashna to come, there are two conditions being mentioned here. Anyone can ask a question of a spiritual person, but the spiritual person is not duty-bound or forced to give an answer or to even speak. In many cases, the spiritual personalities are observing mon brata, which is a specific brat where they don't speak with anyone, irregardless of the situation or demand. And otherwise, the prerogative of the saintly person is that he's not subjected to anyone's interrogation or anyone's demands. Oh, you're an answer machine, anytime answer machine. if someone comes and asks a question, that saintly person may say, I have nothing to say on that matter, or I don't want to speak on this. Have you often heard of, you may have heard the term, a challenging question? Have you heard this? So challenging question means that the speaker, the spiritual speaker may not like the approach of the prashni, or the prashak, prashnawala, who's ever asking the question, because he's not meeting the conditions that are mentioned in this verse. One is this Brahman, who's Brahmana Prashna. He's a Brahman. He's asking a question. Of whom? Of a sannyasi. He's a Brahmana, possibly a grihastha. And he's asking a question of a sannyasi. The sannyasi is Lord Chaitanya. A sannyasi is a guru for the Brahmins and guru for society. But he has some qualifications, some adhikar, which are being specifically mentioned herein by Vrindavan Das Thakur, which we want to consider. One was he was Sukriti. He was pious, means he's a devotee. He's a devotee asking a question about a devotee from a devotee. Sometimes non-devotees, or we don't even know if they're Sukriti or Duskriti, but they show up in a temple on a Sunday feast and they ask some challenging question about some other devotee, about some guru in ISKCON, or about some devotee. Oh, I saw this devotee, I can't. But who is this person? We don't know anything about this person, his bona fides or his particulars or his adhikar. So maybe he's Duskriti, so he's not Sukriti. He has prashna, but he has no Sukriti. Rather, the tone of his question indicates a rather demoniac leaning. Then secondly, is it Shubhakshane? Is it Shubhakshane? Is it at an auspicious time? This means that even for prashna, there is kaladeshan patra. There is consideration of time, kala, and place, desh, and personalities, circumstance, who's asking, who, what, when, where, why, in what circumstance, what context, what tone, what mood, what punya, what piety. That's why people are perplexed. So I'm asking you a question, why aren't you answering? I appreciate your question. Oftentimes, we would give an answer. I appreciate your question, but this is not the time. Have you ever heard this phrase? This is not the time or place to ask this question. That's in common social intercourse with parents and children, or one to another. You don't go to some public party and ask a question about someone's wife in front of everyone. And maybe some private discussion you may have with that friend of yours. You know, there's a time we have. You must have heard the English equivalent of kaladeshan patra is there is a time and place for everything. Have you ever heard this phrase? Yes. There is a time and place for everything, which means this is an aphorism. This is the basic truth of reality. There's a time for creation and a place for creation, and a time for destruction. Time for procreation, everything. There's a time, place, and circumstance. And the Vedas, they're very much advising specifics about time, place, and circumstance. You've heard of astrology, Jyotishi. You've heard of Vastu. That's about place. And time is Kala Tattva is astrology. And even there's a specific type of branch of astrology called Prashna astrology, which on the very time that you ask a prashna means question, when you ask the question, at the very time you ask it, they write down a chart. And they give you an answer based on that, what the stars are saying, what the demigod stars, etc. are saying at that time. Prashna astrology. Very refined and difficult to master science, but it is, there are some specialists in this field, even today in India. Maybe you've heard of such things. So, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is a preacher, he's a pracharak. That was one of his functions. And he's showing the example that preachers should, they answer, questions should be asked, one should have a qualification to ask a question, and he should be Sukriti if he's asking questions to Sukriti Janas. And this is a very nice point. He said, because he was Sukriti, and because he asked at a proper time, then the Lord explained the truth without reservation. Prabhu Tattva Kahilena Tane. In other words, if he asks a question at the wrong time, then the Lord may defer not to answer or refuse to answer. So this is a lesson that many of us are, of course, students, and many of us also are students come teachers or preachers, pracharaks. So we should not be controlled by the situation. We should always be control the situation as much as our adeptness and maturity allows us to, especially when we're representing Vyasadeva in the parampara, sitting on the august seat of Lord Vyasadeva, Sri Vyasadeva, that we have a very large, it's not some casual chair at some meeting or some chair at a bridge club. Okay, you sit down and play bridge. Okay, you sit down and give a class. It's the most responsible and honorable position to be offered the seat of Vyas. When we lived in Vrindavan near the temple, we always considered it a great honor to be invited to come and give the class. And even we would try to encourage them to choose somebody else. We didn't feel qualified to sit there. But they would be insistent, the temple leaders in ISKCON Vrindavan, so then we would try to... I would say, all right, I'll think about it and call you back. So then I would pray to Prabhupada and to my Thakurji and say, I'm supposed to do... You want me to do this? I should do this? Because I don't really have any strong inclination to just jump on a Vyasa-san. So then they would give some confirmation and they would call back. So are you coming to give the Radhastami lecture? I said, yes, it seems to be. You're giving me... I would speak to them. I said, you're giving me such a great honor, which I don't deserve. But I'll try my best to serve your wish. And that's the meditation, at least ours. And I have never really felt any different than that. So as we talk about privilege and right, that I don't think there's a greater privilege to offer to a devotee than to sit on the seat of Vyasadeva. That's a great thing. So millions of people in the world, even the greatest presidents and prime ministers, they're not allowed to sit on the seat of Vyasadeva because they're not Sukriti, they don't have the Adhikar. So all that fortune, all that mercy and adhikar is created, only been created by the kind compassion of one great soul named Nityalila Pravishnam Sri Srimad E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, we would be in India, we would be, if we tried to come into a temple 500 years ago in India as an American, just try to enter a temple, we would be beaten with bamboo sticks and driven out. Like a dog. Like if a dog tries to enter the Jagannath temple, he's beaten with sticks and driven out. Then they wash the entire temple down and make a new bhog offering. All the bhog is thrown over the wall, fed to the cows. Tilinga gate, and they cook all new rice, wash the whole temple down with water, Ganga jal, from that Ganga, what's it called, that Sweta Ganga. They wash it down with all Ganga jal and make a whole new offering, and everything comes very late. The final bhoga for the Lord. The Lord is inconvenienced, but these are the strict standards of cleanliness and purity. The dog simply crosses the threshold of the temple at Singhadwara. They wash the whole, close the temple, send everybody out. Thousands of people taking darshan. Everyone's outside. Temple's contaminated. Even if somebody splits in the temple, some kid passes urine, are still in the temple. So strict. So if a Mlecha or Yavan or Antija or Gnostic Yavan or Mlecha, like an American, like ourselves, were to come to India 500 years ago and enter a temple, they would beat us and drive us out, then wash the whole thing down with Ganga Jal and chant all kinds of mantras and do puja. I'm serious. Now that same individual is being invited into an Indian temple, a temple in India with Radha Krishna deities. He's being offered the Vyasa-san to sit on. That's something extraordinary. That's a miracle. To turn a dog into a representative of Vyasadeva, that's, you see a dog on the street, say, listen, dog. Dog, like we have those Ramu Shamu, dog, I'm going to train you up. You're going to go to Delhi and give lectures on Bhagavatam. He's wagging his tail. Yeah? Me? Yeah. You're going to put on a dhoti, kopin, you're going to go, we'll give you a danda, you'll sit there and give lectures. Wow. You can do that. Yeah, I can make dog into a sannyasi. So it's unbelievable. It sounds ridiculous, but that's what Prabhupada did. And it's happening everywhere. So this is an interesting point about this Shubhakshane. Now, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he wants to intercede. It's a flow. It's just two people sitting there. It's a conversation. Vrindavan Das is not there. He's not sitting there. He's not privy to that conversation. It's a private conversation with Gauranga and the Brahman in Puri or Navadvipa. It's not clear. And the issue is Nityananda and his perplexity about his behavior and his doubts about his bona fideness as a sannyasi. And now all of a sudden, Vrindavan Das Thakur is seeing all this in his Samadhi Bhashya and writing about it and recounting it. Now he intervenes to establish some points here for us to reflect upon. Shrinina Vriprera Vakya Shri Gora Sundar Hasya Vriprera Prati Karila Uttar. On hearing the words of the Brahmana, who we left off, he was saying, my Lord, O Lord Gauranga, I'm confused. Please explain this mystery. So hearing this, Gaurasundar smiled and replied, Hasya Vipra Prati Uttar. Shuna Vipra Maha Arikari Jevahai Tabetan Doshgun Kichunajanmai. Listen, O Brahman, when one is highly qualified, one is not affected by faults and virtues. Material qualification or superficial vision is one thing, and to grasp the profound meaning through keen vision is another thing. The qualification of those who always favorably cultivate Krishna consciousness after giving up the coverings of extraneous desires, karma, and jnana is different from that of others. Materialistic people are under the control of their mind, intelligence, and false ego. Material faults and virtues cannot enter the transcendental realm. As a lotus leaf cannot hold a drop of mercury or water, a heart engaged in giving pleasure to Krishna never invites inauspiciousness based on self-interest. Namaye kanta bhaktanam guna dosha bhava guna saranam samachitanam buddhe param upayasham. O Vipra, do you know this verse? This is from Bhagavatam. Dasama Skanda, chapter 20, verse 36. Maybe you know the Sanskrit. Material piety and sin, which arise from the good and evil of this material world, cannot exist within my unalloyed devotee. Ekanta bhakta guna dosh guna sarunam tamachitam namai doesn't exist. Namai, there's no existence in the ekanta bhakta. My unalloyed ekanta bhakta is free from material hankering. They maintain steady spiritual consciousness in all circumstances. Indeed, such ekanta bhaktas have achieved me. The Supreme Lord, who am beyond anything that can be conceived by material intelligence. So this is a rebuttal or reply of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is using his own logical statements and backed by Shastra Praman, primarily Bhagavat Praman, Bhagavatam Pranitam Paramahamsa Samhitam. Bhagavatam Pramitam Paramahamsa Samhitam. That this Bhagavat is the law, the most official law book of all evidence and proof for transcendental reality. It is the greatest of all, it's the Paramahamsa Samhitam of all law books and written by great rishis like Brahma Samhita, and so many samhitas are there by different rishis and sages and sages from Brahma on down. This is the Paramahamsa Samhitam. This is a completely pure and transcendental law book and reality book, factual book. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu is citing this as prima facie, primary evidence for this answer to remove the doubts of the doubting Thomas Brahman. We have in the Bible, they have the doubting Thomas. He was one of the apostles, the saints of Jesus, his disciples. His name was Thomas. He had some doubts. So this is a saint and a disciple, a follower, not say disciple, but devotee of Lord Gauranga, and he has also doubting Brahman, doubting Vipra. So first he says, he's highly qualified. He's saying from his own words, he's highly qualified. Listen, Vipra, when one is Maha Adhikari, he has very high eligibility and qualification, like our Nityavadut, then Dosh Gun Kichuna Janmai. Doshagun, these bad qualities or faults, they don't take birth, not Janmaya. They don't take birth in this person. What you see is not reality. It's your own misconception, misunderstanding. And moreover, Bhagavatam is saying that they're such exalted people, they're Ekanta Bhaktas like Nittai. It can't stick with them, it can't stay with them. Krishna is saying this in the Bhagavatam. Chapter 20. Now he says more from his own side. Parna patre jena kabu nahi lage jal e mata nityananda srup bhava nirmal. Nityananda srup is pure, nirmal, just as a lotus leaf is untouched by water. Paramarte Krishna Chandra tahana sharire nishchaya janiha vipra sarvada vihari. O Vipra, you should know for certain that Krishna Chandra always enjoys pastimes in the body of Nityananda. Nishchaya janiha, nishcha, nishtita, nishta, nishchaya janiha. You should know, understand clearly, definitely, definitively, without a doubt, unequivocally, the Paramart, Krishna Chandra, the supreme goal of all religion, the Paramart, Krishna himself, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he is Sarvada Vihari. At all times, he's enjoying Leela, Vihar, Banke Bihari, Vamsi Bihari, Harikari, Baikari, Tahana Achar, Dukkha payase jana papa janmitar. If an unqualified person imitates Nittai's behavior, he will suffer and become implicated in sin. Rudra bine anya jadi kari vishapan savataya mare sara purana praman. If anyone other than Lord Shiva drinks poison, vishapan. Vishapan means, we have marupan. Marupan means to drink honey wine. Marupan Leela. And Ratri Leela and Madhyan Leela, Radha and Krishna have Marupan Leela. This Bharuni beverage, this is Marupan. Bharuni Marupan. I'm Dalji Balaram. This Vishapan. If someone drinks poison, they'll be finished. Unless you're Lord Shiva. Sarvataya Mari. You'll be finished. Sarvapurana Praman. This is the verdict of all the Puranas. So the Lord Chaitanya goes on for a long time preaching to straighten out this doubtful Brahman, and we'll continue tomorrow to hear more of the preaching of Lord Gauranga to remove the doubts of this doubtful Brahman about the identity and behavior of a great personality by citing, giving his own logical reasons, with all logic, and then backed by Praman. So it's Naya, it's Karuna, it's compassion to answer clearly, and it's backed by Naya, logical statements, rational logical statements, which are practically seen. And it's analogy is there, logic is there, and Praman, and also Itihas, history. He's saying that all the Puran, history means Puran. So Lord Chaitanya is citing history and Leela. History is in the beginning of creation. Lord Shiva drank from the ocean of poison when the demons and demigods were churning the ocean of milk. Poison came out. So that's history, Itihas. So to answer him and remove his doubts, he's citing Vedic history, Purana's history. He's using logic. He's using analogy. And he's using Shastric Praman of the Bhagavatam and the very words of Krishna himself spoken in Bhagavatam. It's very cogent and powerful refutation of his doubts and removal of his doubts. This is how preachers should also answer. Cite the Vedic histories as a reference point, as a proof, and then use logic and analogy and Shastra Praman and basic experience, common experience. That's what logic and reason means, commonplace. Hey, you know if you drink poison, you'll die. Yeah, that's right. Well, then trying to do what he does, anyone else does it, they'll drink poison and die. So we'll continue with Chaitanya Bhagavat tomorrow.